This is the Lubetkin on Communications podcast, episode number 55, for Tuesday, April 14th, 2015. Welcome to the Lubetkin on Communications podcast. I'm Steve Lubetkin, your host, Podcast Steve on Twitter. This program is about communications, public relations, and journalism, and we speak with interesting personalities in those fields. Our guest on this program is Joan Detz. Joan is a veteran speech writer and speech consultant. She's the author of four highly respected public speaking books, and since 1984, she's been running her own speaker services business, writing speeches, coaching executives, and offering media training and conducting workshops. As a matter of fact, speaking of workshops, she will be conducting a workshop for the International Association of Business Communicators, IABC, Philadelphia chapter. That will take place on May 6th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn in the Fort Washington area of the Philadelphia suburbs. For more information about Joan's presentation and to register for the workshop, you can go to iabcphiladelphia.org, where you'll find information about the program, which is called How to Write Short Remarks and Talking Points That Boost Your Career. Joan, thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Delighted to talk.
So you're going to be presenting about the speech writing process at the IABC Philadelphia chapter. Talk a little bit about what you're going to present and what the takeaways are for the members.
My presentation will talk about how you can prepare speeches, presentations, short remarks, and use that to really build your career. The business communicators who know how to prepare good remarks, good speeches, good presentations, those business communicators get better jobs, and if they're freelancing, they work more often. So the meeting is open to everyone. You don't have to be an IABC member. Please come. It's a good chance to bring your questions. I will be there. In addition to presenting, I will allow time before and after to answer individual questions. So if you've ever been curious about speech writing, IABC is making it possible for you to learn.
Well, you've been involved in the speech writing and coaching field for a number of years, and I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how you got started in it and what are some of the things you've seen over the years that have changed in how speeches are produced and how speeches are delivered.
I first got started writing speeches on the I Love New York campaign when I worked on Madison Avenue, and what I loved most about my job was doing the writing. So I put together a portfolio of my work, got a job as a speechwriter with what was then called Brooklyn Union Gas, was there 4 years working on staff, and realized I wanted to start my own speech writing business. So since I had put myself through college by working in a bookstore, I followed the publishing industry pretty closely, and I crafted a proposal to write a book, sold the book. When the book was published, I resigned my staff job, and since late 1984, I have worked nonstop as a speechwriter. The book was How to Write and Give a Speech, and this marks its 31st anniversary. It has never been out of print for even a day. So I look at that as just a wonderful way to start in the business.
What have you seen change in the way that people are delivering speeches? We have a president who seems to only like to give speeches with a teleprompter handy. Do a lot of corporate executives want to emulate that, or do they have other styles that you've seen?
Many of my corporate executives for major presentations will want to use teleprompters. What I have seen change is over the years, people who are not C-level executives have decided they would also like to use teleprompters, and it usually takes one or two go-rounds to convince them that it's not the best method for the average person who's going to communicate. Fine for the President of the United States, fine for the CEO or chair at a major conference or convention, but for the most part, not needed and really can be difficult to handle for the average speaker.
And we hear frequently, and I've used the quote frequently in my own presentations to potential speakers, that there are two things that people fear the most. Number two is death, but number one is speaking in public. How do you get people over the fear of speaking in public?
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I have to tell you, the fear of speaking is, after 30 years of helping people, I would say that people of all backgrounds, all ages, all educational levels, all areas of expertise, all parts of the country, all parts of the world, I see a fear of standing up and speaking. It doesn't really, it has not gone away. So you raise an issue that was there a long time ago and is still there. I would say, in many cases, the worry about it has increased. And that's largely because people now know, let's say, Steve, they got an invitation to give a small speech at a small town in Pennsylvania. Well, 20 years ago, those remarks would just have been to the small audience sitting in front of them. Now, with social media, those remarks are going all over the world. People are tweeting while they're speaking. The audience is there sending out tweets. The media is there, and people are, you know, they've got their cells out. They're recording it. So speakers now really have much more to worry about than they did 20 or 30 years ago, because what they say now can and probably will live forever. And when you think about it, it makes you realize you probably should rehearse more rather than less, because what you say up there, wow, it lasts.
And one of the things that I've seen increasingly at conferences, in addition to people just randomly tweeting or live blogging, is conferences where they actually put a large screen up next to the stage and have the Twitter stream with the hashtag for that conference running live so that the speaker is getting instantaneous feedback from the audience. And how do you coach people about dealing with that? Because a lot of people get unglued when they see instant feedback from the audience.
Speakers will get unglued with anything that happens across their way, whether it is instant feedback from the audience or whether it is a waiter dropping dishes at a dinner meeting or whether it is someone unexpected entering through a side door. This is all unnerving to a speaker. I approach it this way. I work with my clients and say, what's your message? What do you want to get across? What's the most important thing for you to communicate that day? And I get them to focus on what they need to get across and not be so ruffled by a hand waving in the air or someone tweeting about something that wasn't on their agenda. So you do, as the speaker, you have both the right to get your message across, and you also have the responsibility to get your message across. You are there at the front of the room for a reason. And you simply can't allow distractions to let you get off track, because, you know, you've got to let the people go on time or early. You can't keep them late, so you can't keep adding in or commenting or getting in distracted in some way. You have to end on time or early. That's it.
I want to put you on the spot a little bit and ask you if you could pick a couple of people who you regard as really, really excellent public speakers, and then maybe some people who could use your coaching help.
Yes, I can. I can tell you that in the course of a week, I'm constantly amazed, and this might not be the answer you're expecting, but this is my sincere reaction. I am constantly amazed at the number of ordinary people in their communities making ordinary remarks or small words of welcome, etc., who do a really wonderful job. And I think to myself, gosh, if that was my client, I'd just be so pleased. I wonder if she has any idea how poised she was and how well she handled that event. So I'm always delighted, and it happens so often that I now look forward to it. What is disappointing to me? Well, when I see international news conferences where people do have access to top media trainers and coaches, I'm really disappointed when I see unfortunate word choice or phrases that really don't belong used in that public context. And that happens almost on a daily basis. I watch a lot of international news, and let's put it this way. There are a lot of press conferences and media events that could be greatly improved. So, always work to do.
So what are the rules that you might give someone for things they should avoid if they're preparing to give a presentation? What are the things they shouldn't do?
Do not run over time. Do not bore the audience. Do not say, this wasn't really on the agenda, but I think I'll have to give you a little background first. I hope we don't run too long. Don't say that. Don't say, I don't know that much about your organization, but I thought you might like to know about what my company does. Don't say that. In other words, I would say flip it around and look at what would the audience want. And don't do anything that the audience doesn't want. The audience wants to be engaged. They want to hear something interesting that they couldn't get any other way. They do not want to sit there and read PowerPoint slides. If you want to prepare a PowerPoint, just send it to them and let people read it at home in comfort. Don't make them come on site and read to them. You have to meet the audience's need, and good speakers do that, and they get invited back.
I was going to ask you about PowerPoint, because one of the things I see frequently, and I'm sure you see it too, is someone will come to give a presentation and they bring a generic PowerPoint that's been prepared for their company. and then they skip through 30 or 40 slides saying, well, that's not really relevant to you. How do you feel about PowerPoint in general? Should speakers use it, not use it? What's your take?
PowerPoint in general, if it enhances what you say, if it explains material better than you can do with just words, if it creates an impression, an impact that's memorable, then use it as a supporting element. But you just gave a brilliant example of what we usually see. Someone who comes with a huge PowerPoint that's generic and flies through the stuff that doesn't apply, and you know what? It says to the audience, I didn't care enough about you to even get rid of the irrelevant material. That's a terrible signal to send to an audience. And the audiences know it, which is why when audiences are bored or annoyed, they will simply get up and they walk out. And you can see that stream of people. That's why the audience usually wants a seat near the back or at the side. I mean, we're laughing, but that's what an audience wants to do. They want to have an escape route in case the program is too long, too boring, too repetitious, They want an easy way out, and so they look for that aisle seat or something at the back.
And, of course, if they sit in the back, they're subjecting themselves to the PowerPoint slide that has tiny little type and a million rows of numbers, and the speaker will say, you probably can't see this in the back.
Yes, that is another one of my favorite lines. I know you can't see this, but...
I'm going to show it to you anyway, right?
I'm going to show it.
So let me ask you this. We talked about the bad things. What are the good things that speakers do? What are the things that you find really effective when they're used in the hands of a good speaker?
Engaging the audience by using the word you, by making great eye contact, giving bits of research, and I'll talk about this in my IABC session, using bits of research that will be an aha type moment for the audience. So the audience will go back and tell their coworkers and tell their neighbors and tell their family members. That's important. You want the audience to help spread your message. You want to include bits and pieces of material that people want to share. They might tweet about it. They might simply go back and tell all of their colleagues at the next staff meeting. But either way, they're sharing your material, and that's what you want to do. I would say that one of the best things a speaker can do is to do really good wordsmithing. Really look at the phrases and the sentences they open with and close with. Polish them absolutely as much as possible, because that editing, really good editing, leads to really good delivery. Now, you mentioned that I'm a speech writer, and that's what I've done my professional career. But quite often, I will work with an organization where they will send me, say, a rough draft of a speech, and I will simply edit it or polish it. And in a short amount of time, you can take a rough manuscript and turn it into something that a CEO or an executive or a manager can deliver so much better. And I want to emphasize that. It isn't so much the speech writing, it's the speech rewriting. My first draft isn't ready to go either. I go back, I polish, and I would really encourage all business communicators to think about that. The better they do with their editing and their polishing, the better the speaker will do with delivery.
Well, it sounds great. And Joan, I appreciate you taking the time to share some of your tips with us. And we look forward to seeing you at the IABC event, which is May 6th.
I am glad to volunteer. And I say all are welcome.
And once again, if you're interested in attending Joan's presentation at the IABC Philadelphia chapter, you can go to iabcphiladelphia.org. And register for Joan Detz's presentation, How to Write Short Remarks and Talking Points That Boost Your Career. It's May 6th from 6 to 7:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn for Philadelphia/Fort Washington. That's in the Fort Washington area, right off of the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Joan Detz is a speech writing expert and a speaking coach. She works out of central Pennsylvania, and she joined us by phone from her office way out there. Joan, thanks very much for joining us on the Lubetkin on Communications podcast.
Thank you so much. Great talking.
And that will wrap things up for this edition of the Lubetkin on Communications podcast. We hope you enjoyed the program. If you have comments or suggestions about these programs, please write to us. My email address is steve@lubetkincommunications.com. And I do have to include a special shout out to my beautiful daughter, Sharon, who is celebrating her 30th birthday today, April 14th. Happy birthday, Sharon, and we love you very much. We produce these programs in the studios of the Lubetkin Media Companies in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, on the web at beingthemedia.com. This is Steve Lubetkin. For all of us at the Lubetkin Media Companies, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.